Okay, so today is the first day of 3 weeks in a row that I'm preaching. Okay? That does not normally happen. You know we have a rotation going in this house. I had two, and then I thought, oh man, if I had three, I know exactly what I would preach about. And then I was like, do you want my third day? Yes. Yes, I do. Thank you. So, the sermon tonight is called It's Not an Option, Part 1. It's not an option. And in fact, the verse that I'm preaching from, I have preached from before. In a three-part series. I didn't get to do it back-to-back. It was over across 3 months. Okay? And I did that in 2017. Okay? I went looking into the archives. And I am so thankful that we keep our things. This was before we videoed, so it was just audio, right? Okay, but in 2017, I preached from this verse. And this is not, it's the same verse. It's the same Lord. It's a very different approach. Okay, so if you want to go digging back to it, you can go digging back to it. It's in 2017. It's on the website, in the audio. I think it was like the Lord's requirement for you, I think is what I called it. Okay? So we're going to turn to Micah 6:8. Okay. All right, so here's the thing. I'm just going to expose myself to you right now. It's a lighthearted exposition. This is not like a bearing of my heart moment. This is a lighthearted thing. Okay. In most circumstances, I feel like the sole of my foot just like, okay, no, I thought my shoe just fell apart. It did not. In most circumstances, I identify and consider myself a teacher and not a preacher. Okay? Like, in fact, fivefold ministry-wise, I am a teacher. That is the mantle that I carry is prophetic teacher. Okay? And so depending on what kind of church you grew up in, you may recognize that there is a very clear distinction between teaching and preaching. Okay? And in some churches, it's a very stylistic thing when we talk about preaching. Okay? And there's seminaries that teach people how to preach, right? How to do the thing. And sometimes it is totally the Lord, and sometimes it is a trapping that is put on. Okay? I never learned that. I don't have that style. Okay? So, maybe you will understand that this whole week, and sometimes I think silly things in my brain, but I don't normally think silly things about how I'm going to bring the Lord, the word. Okay, so this whole week, I have been going, man, I think I'm going to tune up this week. And see, they're laughing back there because they know, right? I told Ron this because I was like, and so some of you, okay, not all of you have the cultural background to get this, and this is okay. This is okay, all right? Okay, so this concept of tuning up, all right, I don't know if they do it in other churches. I know in the black church it's a thing, right? And you will frequently hear a preacher start going in with the Lord. And I can't do it. I can't even do it to fake it, okay? But they'll be like, thank you, Isaac. And the Lord said, right? Okay? All right. And so, and then there's the organ behind it, and it's like, he is. He was like, do I need to call Judah, who's one of our friends? And I'm like, I don't even know what I would do if Judah was back there, because I don't really actually have that. Okay? But this whole week, I've been like, I'm going to get up there and preach. And I was like, what even is that? What does that even look like when I do that? So I just want you to know, okay, I'm already loud. I can already feel it, okay? I am already up here and am going further, okay? And so just know that that is not like a trapping that I'm putting on. The fact that it is happening, and I'm setting the stage, I'm setting the context, because I need y'all to know that I'm not faking it. Okay? I'm already taking off the shoes. It's already, okay. So, I just need y'all to know that that is not a faking thing. So those of you who are familiar with, I mean, some of y'all have known me for decades. You know that is, you know that is not me. At one of our former churches, there was a guy who does what's called hooping, right? And so he's like, let me not even. Okay, so he like circular breathes when he preaches, and he's like, and I used to have like an asthma attack like straight up in church because I'd be trying to breathe for him, and so I would have to leave. So I just want you to know that whatever happens right now is not me playing around. Okay, it's not me doing it to hype you. I am not that person. I am not about that life. I do not need to hype you up. I despise it. Okay, I despise the trappings that we have made in American Christianity and the American church, acting like God needs our help. Okay, that God needs our help to unlock our hearts. Okay, so like, there's the context. All right, we all good? We all good? Aunt Melissa was like, preach. Okay, so there we go. All right, okay, so we good? We good? We good? I apologize for any of you who don't like it when it gets loud. I'm going to get loud. So just know. We ready? We ready. Okay, so Micah 6:8. And when I was like, bring it. Thank you, Maisha. All right. And the funny thing is that looking at my notes, I was like, on this? Right? Like, on this? Yes, on this. Okay. Micah 6:8. New King James Version. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You'll remember that the title of the sermon is, It's Not an Option. Okay? It's not an option. We are, in human history, rapidly hurtling toward the moment where heaven touches earth in a completely new way. Okay? We are rapidly hurtling toward that moment, okay, when it is not just isolated portals of glory, but that it is heaven and earth meeting in a very real way. And because we are rapidly hurtling toward that moment in history, okay, we are seeing an acceleration of extremes. An acceleration of darkness, which scares a lot of us, where we go, what's gone wrong? Right? People are clutching their pearls all over the place. Like, how could this happen? Okay? But we are also seeing an acceleration of light. Okay? And what's happening is we are moving towards a moment when there is no lukewarm. There's no in the middle. There's no shades of gray. Okay? We are rapidly moving towards a moment whether you are hot or you are cold, and there is no more playing it safe in the middle. Okay? We are seeing this acceleration in every single sphere of our lives. Okay? You see it in the family realm. You see it in the government. You see it in the schools. Okay? You see it in the arts. You see it in the media. Right? Any one of those, we can think of like a half dozen, 100 examples, right, of how there is extremes happening. Extreme light, extreme darkness. Okay, you see it in the media. Can I get an amen? You see it in the schools, okay? You see it across the board in every area of our life. We are seeing this acceleration. Okay, and so what that means for us, it does not mean that what the Lord requires of us has changed, because His word is eternal and it stands forever, right? But the way it shows up in our life looks different, okay? It looks different because no longer are we in a culture where the things that we would consider righteous are the cultural norm, okay? Where you kind of coast along with what the culture is doing, right? And you doing what the Lord says is socially acceptable. Okay, more and more with every day and every month and every year that passes, standing as a faithful witness before the Lord is costly. And it's going to get more so. Right? It's going to be more so, being a faithful witness. Like I said, I preached off of this verse 4 years ago. I listened to it and I was like, man, this still stands. But wow, are we in a different place? And in 2017, I preached that because of the place that we were in then. Okay? And now it's 4.5 years later, and I'm like, oh, whoa. This really is speeding up. It's really speeding up. Okay? And so we have been on a journey as a church. I just love how the Lord knits us together, because we have been on a journey of cleansing, right? Of recognizing the spirits around us, okay? We have been a journey of recognizing the spirit of the Lord, okay? We've had numbers of prophetic illustrations about, okay, what are we letting go of? What are we laying down? What are we exchanging it for? Boom, all these different things, okay? And so then the question is, what now? Okay, like, okay, so if you were here last week, we wrote on the cards, we were laying stuff down at the altar. Al was talking about how we are new people. Then he was preaching about the political spirit. Several weeks ago, he preached about the religious spirit, okay, so that we can recognize it and where it's made inroads, not only in our own life, but corporately and all around us, all right? Lisa's preaching about being expectant from the Lord. She's preaching about the sevenfold spirit of God, okay? We're just talking about all these things, okay? All amazing, excellent things, okay? And sometimes we can get so stuck into the swirl, okay? Not, these are all super practical messages, right? These are not swirly messages. But sometimes we can go, oh, yeah, now we can talk in 10 points about the political spirit, right? And we forget that it actually means something in our day-to-day life, that there's something that's actually required for us. Or Satan is happy to twist it. He's happy for us to either be ignorant, or when we actually know what we're talking about, he's happy to make it just knowledge and push us so that we never apply it. Okay, he's happy for either one. So now that ignorance is no longer an option, what he wants to do is push you so that you're just all about information and not about application. That you never actually do anything with what you know. Okay? He would love to immobilize you with all the options and just be like, oh, there's so much going on. What am I supposed to do? What is it supposed to be? Oh, I'm just swirling, 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 swirling. He would love to paralyze you and keep you in that space. And because we see his schemes for what it is, that's why I'm going where I'm going tonight. Okay? So, one of the things Satan loves to do is make us think that what God's requirement, I got twisted up in that, to make us think that God's requirements are somehow unknowable or unreachable, right? That what he commands for us to do, we can't know, so we're just groping out here like blind men in the desert, okay? All right? Or that if we did know it, we wouldn't actually be able to implement it. Like his commandments are somehow too burdensome. Okay? And the reason why I reject that is God is a good father, and he is a righteous judge. Okay? And so a good father makes his expectations clear. And a righteous judge lays out the law. So if he is a good father and he is a righteous judge, that means when we stand before him, we will have no excuse. Does that make sense? We'll have no excuse because what he asked us to do is perfectly knowable and perfectly doable. Okay? Because otherwise he wouldn't be righteous. If we couldn't know what we were supposed to do, so therefore we didn't fulfill it because we couldn't know it, he wouldn't be good. He wouldn't be righteous, right? If we could not attain it, if we could not do it, if we could not actually implement what he was asking us to do or obey it, he would also not be righteous, right? Okay, I'm a mom. Sometimes I have expectations of my kids and I do not communicate them well. And then I have to apologize because they're like, how was I supposed to know that? I'm like, oh, you. I do have to teach you that, don't I? Okay, right? Or I could make an expectation that there is no way that they could meet. My youngest is 6. My oldest is 13. My 13-year-old has very different capabilities than my 6-year-old. Very different. I do not expect my 6-year-old to be able to do what my 13-year-old does. Right? I do not expect my 6-year-old to be able to do the same things that my husband can do as a full-grown man. Right? And so God is a good father. So if me in my imperfectness realize as a parent that, oh, wait, I have to tell them what's supposed to happen and I have to make sure they're capable of doing it, how much more does God, the perfect father, make his expectations clear and make his expectations doable? Okay, so that's the context for this. All right, Micah 6:8. He has shown you, oh man, what is good. He has shown you what is good. Psalm 119:68 says, you are good and do good. That is one of my favorite verses to stand on. You are good and you do good. Right? In the Passion Translation, it says, everything you do is beautiful, flowing from your goodness. So God shows us what is good because he is good. He is good. We cannot ever go, oh, well, I didn't know what was good. I didn't know it was true. I didn't know it was beautiful. I didn't know it was lovely. I didn't know, because it's all in God. All of those things. Love, goodness, holiness are displayed in the face of our Father. Okay? So we never get an excuse of, oh, I didn't know, because he's there. He has shown us what is good because he constantly and consistently shows us himself. Okay, so that's the first place we start. He has shown us what is good. And in 1 John 4:19, it says we love because he first loved us. Some translations say we love him because he first loved us. And other translations just say we love because he first loved us. In the Passion Translation, that says, our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. I like the Passion Translation because it's like a sermon. Like, I can just say that. I bet, I should do it one day. I bet I could come up here and just pick any, like, book from the Passion Translation. And I bet if I said it naturally enough and, like, with the right pauses, no one would realize I wasn't just preaching. Right? Okay, so our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. Okay, so because he is good and we have that goodness displayed to us, therefore it determines what our response is. It determines our actions. Okay, he is good. He is love. He shines that goodness. He shines that love on us. And so therefore it changes how we respond. Okay. It's a grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. And so then it goes on to say, what does the Lord require of you? John 14:15 says, I'm throwing a bunch of verses at you really fast. It's okay. If you love me, keep my commandments. Right? If you love me, keep my commandments. And that's not a burden that the Lord puts on us. How do I know that? Says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So therefore him saying, if you love me, you keep my commandments, can't be something heavy that's supposed to weigh us down. Right? His love empowers us to keep his commandments. His love empowers us to keep his commandments. His love fuels us to do what is good, to do what is right, to walk in the truth. Okay? Okay. in the pre-service when I came in. I was a little late today, but I caught the tail end of it. And they were singing, fill us with your grace. Fill us with your grace. The grace of the Lord empowers us. Okay, and that's really important because otherwise we get twisted around with every single other thing. Okay, if we don't know that His grace is what empowers us, then we're messed up. Okay? All right, so here's the thing. We've got pattern. He's good. Comes to us. Therefore, what we do is fueled by His goodness and His love. Right? And the things that He expects from us, as it says in Micah, are requirements, commands, expectations. They are not options. They are not choices. Ron and I have a rule in our house with our children, is if they can't say no to something, we don't make it a question. So if I need them to make their bed, I don't say, will you go make your bed? Because that's a choice. They get to say no to that. Because we are teaching our children to own their decisions, own their choices, own how they navigate their day. So if I want them to make their bed and I don't want them to say no, I say, go make your bed. There have been times when I've given my children an option and it was not an option and they said no. Right? I did not get mad at them because I realized it was my fault, not theirs. I was like, hey, will you put these away for me? And they're like, no. I'm like, I'm sorry. Mommy asked you a question. That was not a question. Put away the groceries, please. Right? And I apologize, and it's a sincere apology because I set them up for failure. Okay? These are not questions from the Lord. Will you do justice? Will you love mercy? Will you walk humbly beside me? No. Do justice. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. They are requirements before Him. They are meant to govern every aspect of our life. And that's really important right now. That is really important right now. Because all of those things, justice, mercy, humility, God, are all being redefined. So, knowing what this means, knowing what we are to do and applying it to your life is of the utmost importance in this time. I want us to be a body of change makers, right? A body of people who carry the glory of the Lord everywhere they go. Right? I want you, each one of you, to walk into a new place and for light to beam out from your spirit and pierce all the darkness around you. And that doesn't happen by chance. That doesn't happen by chance. It happens when you set your heart towards obedience. It happens when you make a real decision to say, God, this is how I am going to live my life. This is how I am going to govern my life. And you realize that justice isn't just about calling your congressman. Call your congressman. Okay? It isn't about just about protests or about voting the right ticket. Okay? None of those things is wrong. Okay? But justice and mercy and faithfulness to God govern every aspect of our day, every word that comes out of our mouth, every cent that we spend, every minute and every second of our day and how we choose to spend our time, every word we speak, what we hit enter on our Facebook statuses, right? What we choose to share, what we choose to like, what YouTube videos we watch, what we say to our employer, what we don't say to our employer, what we say when our coworkers are being foolish, how we drive, okay? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness affect all of those things. And once again, this isn't me putting a burden on you. This isn't me going, you are messing up. Okay? This is me calling you higher. Because what I want for each one of you is for you to be a carrier of the glory of the Lord. And there's always more light. So even if as we're talking, you're like, I do those things, there's always more from the Lord, which I love. I can be like, oh, I shine bright. And I can be like, Lord, turn it up a little bit more. Like those dimmer things, right, where you it's not just on, off, but it's like ramp it up. There's no end on how high he can ramp it up. I want to be the kind of person who walks into the room and other people's spirits are like, I'm blind, right? That's what I want. Right? I want to walk in a room and other people's demons are like, what just came in here? We've got to go. Right? By my presence. And I'm not there yet. Right? I'm not there yet, which means I can keep going. I can be like, Lord, okay, let's see. You know, I don't know where I am on a dial, right? Okay, right? But I get to go like, could you times that by 10, Lord? Could I get a 10-fold increase tomorrow? How about a 50-fold increase when I go to Wegmans next? Right? Like, no matter how far I am on the spectrum, there's always further and further and further and further and further to go. Right? I want to be dazzling brightness in my spirit. I want that for each one of you. I love Rochester. Okay? People talk trash about Rochester all day long. Right? I love Rochester. At 16, the Lord made it very, very, very clear to me that Rochester was going to be where I spent the bulk of my life and the bulk of my ministry. Okay? Super clear, super plain. 16 years old. Okay? People don't get to trash talk Rochester around me. All right? Because the Lord has a destiny and a purpose and a plan, not just for the people here, but for the land. Okay? So I care about you people, but I also care about the structures. I care about the land that I walk on because I know God has a destiny and a purpose and a plan for it. And since y'all all live here too, or at least y'all visiting, because I don't know all of you guys, right? Okay. So at least you're visiting, okay, means I care about this place so much that I want you to be a burning, shining candle, light before the Lord, touching and affecting the city and the land that I love. Okay. So calling you higher. Okay. Great. Okay. So day one, it's 7 o'clock. Y'all are going to have to hang with me for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Right. Al's claiming that it's his fault, but the Lord is good and the Lord is right. And it was like half my sermon anyway. So we're good. Okay. All right. So thing number one, do justly. You could also say work justice. Okay? So here's number one about do justly. Right? These are not actual real points. That's me just saying number one. Okay? All right. So you don't have to number because I'm not going to keep track. All right. So do justly. Do is an action word. Do is an action word. You do not get to ignore that. Do is an action word. It means effort. You have to do something. All right? You put power behind it. You put energy behind it. I say this because a lot of times we like to think justly. Right? We like to think justice. We like to feel justice. But the Lord said, do justice. Okay? Do justly. Okay, so there's four, I'm going to put them in quotes, types of justice. These are my observations. Okay, this is an observational type. Okay, not like it's written out in a list somewhere. Okay, two of them are positive, two of them are negative. The first type of justice is restorative justice. Restorative justice. This is what a lot of us think of when we think of justice. Releasing the heavy yokes. Changing the political systems. Intervening on behalf of the oppressed. Whether it's a community or an individual. Something is being done to someone. Some crime, some injustice. And we intervene on their behalf. We go to make it right. Whether on an individual level or on a corporate level. So like on an individual level, restorative justice might be giving to the poor on an individual level. You know a poor person or a poor family that does not have the resources that they need, and you then bring them resources. You bring them food. You get them a coat. You pay the electric bill, right? You get them a car, right? Okay? On a community level, that might mean that you are looking to change a system that is keeping them locked at that level. Okay? You are helping make sure that there's more access to the resources that they need. Okay? That's restorative justice. You see something wrong and you make it right. You good? Okay. Justice number two. Regenerative justice. Regenerative justice. In the Bible, a lot of translations will translate a word righteousness, and the King James Version will translate that same word justice. Okay? And a lot of our Bibles in the Old Testament will say righteousness, but if you look in the King James, it will say justice. And that word right there, this idea of regenerative justice, is the kind of way that if we all lived this way, there would be no need for restorative justice. So if we all lived the way Jesus said to live, if we were all walking in perfect righteousness and a hundredfold obedience before the Lord, I'm not talking about we all. I'm talking about everyone on the earth all. Okay? There would be no need for the other kind of justice. If everyone was living truly holy lives, truly righteous lives, truly submitted to God, hundredfold obedience lives, would we need police? Would we need prisons? Would we need the court system? Would we need food pantries? No. Okay? So, regenerative justice is righteousness. It's the way that we live that truly brings heaven to earth. That's why I call it regenerative. All right? Because we were there, we lost it, we're going back there again. Okay? So, restorative justice, regenerative justice. Both of those are positive, obviously. Okay. Third kind of justice. Performative. Performative justice. This is a negative kind. And the word is right there. Perform. Performance. It's the justice that we do. Justice, I'm going to put that in quotes, right? Justice that we do when we are putting on an act. It's the photo op. It's the, oh, I know the camera is watching, so I'm going to buy the homeless man a new coat. Yeah, you're truly making a difference, but you're not doing it out of a pure motivation. You're doing it because someone's watching. You're doing it to put on a show. You're doing it to put on an act. You're cutting the big check and smiling for the camera. Okay? Right? Performance. Performative justice. That is negative. That is not a good... We don't... No, you don't want to be there. Okay? And the fourth kind of justice is deceptive justice. Some people will call this false justice. I wanted an if word, so it's deceptive. Okay? And this is the justice that ignores Ephesians 6:12. Okay? I'm going to read Ephesians 6:12 for you. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And it's very easy for us to fall into this kind of justice when we forget that. Injustice exists because it is demonically fueled. Okay? It is demonically inspired, demonically charged. It exists because Satan is very real. Okay? And so anytime we forget that the oppression that exists in this world, that the injustice that exists in the world is actually because of evil, we've fallen into deceptive justice. If we feel like the world will be fixed if we just do a big enough coat drive, you've messed up. And I love a coat drive. I love the school book bag giveaway. I love that. But if we think that that is going to fix the world, we have fallen into the trap of the enemy. Okay? Because what is wrong with this world is fueled by Satan. Fueled by him. Okay? What we see when we turn on the news, demonically inspired. And as long as we make it about people, we're falling into a trap. I'm not saying don't speak up against people. Like if someone's doing something wrong, I'm not saying don't speak up. Okay? But what I'm saying is if you stop there, if you're like, and I'm Isaac's right in front of me. Isaac's a police officer. And so this is probably why I'm thinking this, because he's right in front of me. So if you think that the problems in the inner city are going to be fixed if we just had more cops on the street, or if we just fix the laws, okay, you have fallen into a trap. Because what is wrong is fueled by Satan. There are structures in place that are demonic. And I don't know how to underline that any more clearly, okay? Because I have conversations with people where they're like, okay. In the Bible, it talks about like the people it says to work justice on are like the poor, the fatherless, the oppressed, the widow, the refugee, or the sojourner. Right? Okay? I grew up poor. Okay? I've got some other people who know. All right? Looking back, I now see what it really was. In the middle of it, my mom gave me a good life. I did not realize. Okay? But I grew up poor. I grew up fatherless. Okay? So when I tell you that there is not a simple fix for those situations, I actually know what I'm talking about. Okay? I actually know what I'm talking about. Okay? So when I go, man, the stuff that was going on in our neighborhood, the bondage that people were trapped in, where I could have landed but for the grace of God, where Ron could have landed except for by the grace of God, was fueled by hell. I know what I'm saying. This is not exaggeration. This isn't me trying to like, oh man, it's so bad, it's got to be Satan. No, I'm telling you for real, it is demonic. It is demonic. Okay? What people are trapped in when they are impoverished is demonic. Okay? And so, yes, please, go help, right? But if you miss the fact that it is actually has a spiritual root, okay, that everything that you are seeing is a branch from a root that comes from hell. Okay, you've landed in this false justice. In this, let's band-aid it over. Because the answer to that is actually Jesus. Okay? And sometimes we say that and it's like, all we need is love, right? And it's like this dumb statement, right? It's like, it's idiotic, right? Okay, because we're still supposed to do justice, right? So I'm not saying that like a, all we need is Jesus, right? I'm like, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. And this idea of doing justice starts, okay? It starts in the throne room. It starts in the throne room. Because like I said, I love a backpack drive. Okay? Love getting school supplies. Have been blessed by people giving me food. Okay? The church that I grew up in had an active ministry to Ukrainian refugees. Okay? So, resettling people. This was 30 years ago. This was 20 years ago. Okay? Resettling people. Helping rebuild lives. Okay? So, I love all those things. I love all those things. But if you are not interceding before the throne room, what you are doing is false, fake, and a band-aid. And speaking as someone who has needed that, who has needed school supplies, who has needed coats, who has needed electricity and heat, you can miss me with that. I don't want your band-aids. I want the power of God. I want the power of God. And yes, 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 do I want health care for people who can't get it? Yes, for sure. But what do I really want? I want someone to roll up into the inner city and put hands on people and cast out demons and bring physical healing and bring emotional healing and have people just whoo, by the glory of God. And until we're there, I'm happy to have clinics set up. I'm happy for a coat drive. I'm happy to home refugees. I'm happy to provide physical services. I'm happy to do all of those things. But it doesn't stop there. And that's not even really where I want it to start. I do those things because I am not yet pulling people out of wheelchairs. So since I'm not yet able to pull someone out of a wheelchair, it's coming. It's coming. I'm happy to drive them to the hospital. Because I am not yet able to put my hands on a homeless person and say, be healed. Silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give to you. And see the fog of insanity lift from their eyes. I'm happy to put $5 in the cup. I'm happy to get food. Okay? Because I am not yet able to walk in power like that, I'm happy to do the other stuff. But the moment these hands, right? The moment these hands are out here, fire of God going, the moment we're rolling it like Peter and the shadow is and people are just standing up, the moment that that happens, I am not donating soup to another food pantry. Right? Right? Because what I want is the power of God. And so if what you are settling for, if what you are settling for is canned good drives, if what you are settling for is donations to Ukraine, right? And I donated, right? Okay? I'm saying if that's what you're settling for, if what you are settling for is voting for someone who is going to help deal with something, okay? If what you are settling for is making sure the money goes to the right places or any of the things that we do, if what we are settling for is, I like the World Vision catalogs, right? If what I'm settling for is buying like two chickens for the person in Albania, right? Okay? And yes, let me do that. Let me do that. But is that all? Is that all? Is that all? It's not. It's not. Okay? And so here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Do justice because the Lord expects it. Thing number one. You pray. You pray, you pray, you pray, you pray, you pray, you pray. Because in Luke it talks about, will not the judge, right? It talks about the woman who's crying out for justice night and day, night and day. And he's like, finally he gives her justice, not because he actually cares about her, but because she's bothered him so much, right? And then the parable is that, will not God, who is the righteous judge, also intervene and work justice on behalf of the elect who cry out to him night and day? And so a lot of times we read that scripture in a very individualistic kind of way. If I keep calling out to the Lord, he's going to work. He's going to do what I need. Yeah, sure. But do you carry that same weight for the people that the Bible tells us to talk about justice for? For the poor, for the oppressed, for the widow, for the foreigner or the sojourner or the refugee, the stranger in a strange land, right? For the fatherless. Are you contending for God to work justice on their behalf? Knowing that the Bible makes it really clear that if we contend night and day, he will do justice for us on our behalf. He will work it for us. So thing number one is pray. If you're not praying, you're not doing justice. Which I love that because it's a leveler. Okay? Because some of us don't have resources. Some of us don't have physical strength. We can all pray. We can all pray. We can all pray. Okay? So if you are not praying, you are not doing justice. And doing justice is not an option. So that's thing number one. Figure it out. Pray. Okay? I like to do prayer triggers. Right? Which means I tie it to something else in my day-to-day life. So if you're like, I don't have time to pray. Here's my two suggestions for a prayer trigger for you. Okay? Pray a sentence asking God just to work on behalf of whichever people you decide for. God, bring justice for the poor. God, bring justice for the refugee. Whatever you decide. Okay? Pray one sentence every time you unlock your phone. You'll pray a whole lot. Okay? Or pray one sentence every time you walk through a doorway. You want to pray night and day? Pray every time you walk through a doorway. Some of y'all get up a bunch of the night to go to the bathroom. Right? You'd be doing night and day prayer real fast. Right? Like, if every time you walk through a doorway, you prayed a sentence for justice, and you're up five times in the middle of the night. Justice, 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 justice. Right? Okay? Night and day prayer is not a burden. It's an opportunity. Okay? And then thing number two. I'm just going to say it the way I was going to say it. Actually think about what you do in your day-to-day life. Actually think about how you spend your time. Actually think about how you spend your money. Actually think about the words that come out of your mouth. Is the way you spend your time, is the way you spend your money, is the way you speak doing justice? Or, because I suspect, because when I don't think about it, this is where I go. If I'm not thinking about it, if I'm not asking the Lord to prick my heart, I go in one of two ways. One, I just walk through the day neutral. I'm not doing anything that's unjust, but I'm not doing anything just. I'm just flatline. And like, let's think about an echocardiogram. If you're flatline, what are you? Dead. Okay, right? Okay. So neutral is not an okay place to be. Okay. So I'm either here if I'm not thinking about it, or, and much to my shame, if I'm not thinking about it, I am actively perpetrating injustice in the words that I say. because I see someone oppressed, I see someone poor, I see someone hurting, and I don't immediately look for ways to relieve the burden. I go, well, their choices led them there. And that's injustice. Okay? Perpetrating stereotypes. Being silent when someone else says something crass like that. Not being a faithful witness. Not even just seeing the person and going, Lord, bless them. That's justice right there. You know, you go past the person and you're like, Lord, justice. Silver and gold I have not. Lord, give them your spirit. Okay? Like, that's justice. But going by, seeing the person at the stoplight, looking away, pretending like you're rummaging, and then speeding off in the green light. Okay? That's not justice. Okay? It doesn't mean you have to give them something, but you should at least be praying. Right? We shouldn't be like, okay, when we see stuff. So pray, and then two, audit your life. Actually, that's what the thinking about it is. Audit your life. Are you actually doing justice with how you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you use your words? Because if you look at those three things, you will find things shift immediately. We good? We good. Okay. Here's the thing. Just an open invitation. I like to talk justice stuff. I like to talk about systemic oppression and unjust infrastructure and why it's like this and where we are in the world and why certain groups of people are the way that they are. I like to talk about that stuff. So if you're like, not like I enjoy it, but like I give my energy to it joyfully. Okay? Not because I think that stuff is cool, but because I think it's important. Okay? So if you're like, well, I just don't know how, you know, I don't know how these people can be like this. And you're like, I don't even understand. Isn't us doing justice for them enabling? I'm happy to have those conversations. I'm happy to have those conversations. So if you are struggling with what justice looks like in your life, in your situation, I'm happy to have those conversations. Okay? Just be ready to have a conversation. Okay? So if you want to have a conversation about justice, I'm happy to have a conversation about justice. I say that because I've had conversations with some of you guys, right? But if you want to have a conversation, let's have a conversation. Okay? Come ready to have a conversation. Not to try to convince me why you don't have to do what the Bible says. Okay? So just that. Okay? All right. Okay. I went way over. Thank you, guys. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are God. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that you do good. Help us to do good. Help us to do what is right. Help us to go into this new week with eyes wide open. Eyes wide open to do the real work of justice that starts with bringing your light. Help us to be light bearers. Help us to be light bringers, light carriers, God. Help us not to fall into the trap of performative justice or deceptive justice, but help us live in a way that brings heaven to earth and help us restore that which we see is broken in the world. Bless us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.